So you guys are going to perform, and then you have special guests who come in as well. And I mean, I'm not an improv expert, but you guys always seem to have really amazing guests.
Yeah, yeah. It's called the Black Version. It's a troupe of African-American improvisers, actors, you know, people from Reno 911, Mad TV, Saturday Night Live. And they get the title of a movie, any movie from the audience, and then they recreate it, rewrite it, re-improvise it as the Black Version.
Okay.
To put it bluntly.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So, well, let's talk about the art of improv. I spent a lot of time in the theater watching plays that are fairly tightly scripted and watching actors interpret roles that are written for them. And so what happens on stage when you are demanded to be funny and creative, but you have zero safety net of a script?
Right. Well, you know, that's the exciting thing about improv is you don't know what's going to happen. So as for me, coming from an acting background, it's really exciting to not know where you're going, but it's also really terrifying, especially when you first start out. But there are certain rules, even though it's all spontaneous, it's made up on the spot. There are certain rules that help a scene propel it forward, give it energy. I learned those rules actually through Chris, who was my improv teacher, Teacher Chris.
How do you teach improv when there's no book?
Well, there's a difference between good improv and bad improv. Basically, you know, there's, you know, the rule of yes and. So you have to agree.
So anything that I say,
right,
you accept as being part of the universe that's happening on stage.
Right. Exactly.
And then it's your job to
accept it and add information.
Okay. So you have to propel it forward. So
it's exactly
like a tennis match, really.
The thing is that if you're in the middle of doing it and you follow the same basic rules, just relax and trust each other that it's going to happen. Because I think that's what happens with people. Sometimes they get on stage, they don't know what's going to happen, and they panic and they shut down.
Right. And you'll see that with, like, when people first start out, there's a lot of denying what's going on. So
right.
If they walk out and they have a certain idea, you know, they think, oh, I'm a cowgirl. And then someone else walks out and they're like, Mr. Taxi Driver, I would like to hail a cab. And the other person's like, well, you can't hail a cab at the rodeo, so I don't know what you're asking me for. You know, it's stagnant. It doesn't go anywhere, and it's confusing.
So denial. Is a pitfall. The rule of denial.
Why can't you be a cowgirl and a taxi driver?
Ah,
right.
Yes, and.
Yes, and.
I'm a cowgirl who drives a taxi.
Get on the back of the horse. Let's go, you know.
The influence of improv on mainstream comedy today is so big. And so, you know, I guess we trace it back to Second City, but it seems like particularly now all of the folks that we are watching in on TV, Parks and Recreation and 30 mm-hmm. Rock,
right.
The Office, Colbert, that, like, a lot of the stuff that folks are really responding to these days comes from folks who came up through an improv training or has a huge element of improv to it on set. How does rigorous improv training and performance make you a better writer?
I think it goes back to, there's a really famous book called Truth in Comedy. And it's the idea that what is funny about situations, what makes something funny, is the reality of it. How I can understand that situation because I've experienced it or know someone who's experienced a similar situation. And I think that's really why improv is so exciting to watch and so exciting to perform, because everyone, it's meant to be relatable. People can understand it. It's grounded in reality because it's all about relationships, the relationships that people have together. And I know that a lot of the famous improv theaters, the UCB theaters, the Groundling, they all have writing programs too. And they have sketch writing programs, and those writing programs are based in improv.
Does that ever kill a sketch to take it from improv to the page?
It's different. I mean, I just did a show at the Slant Culture Theater Festival. It was a fake ventriloquism act, Ricketts and Randy. And basically, we had a script, me and Keith McGill, a stand-up, and I, and we wrote the show, but we also had elements of improv in it. We had, like, we put in three games in the middle of it because I didn't want to lose that. We loved the script, but, I mean, there's that moment when you're in the moment and the audience is in the moment and you don't know what's going to happen, and then something happens that maybe some people can get on the page. I don't, you know, but that's why I love improv, because we put that in there because it's that whole sort of high wire act. And I mean, some people can write it in, but I've always, I think it seems like no matter what I write, I have to, and I do like to write, just to, I got to have that little twist just because I want that moment.
The element of danger.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, the flip side to that is, so you get the adrenaline thrill of not having a safety net. And then the right. flip side of that is, what happens when you fall? This is always my fear, I want to tell you, as an audience member at improv, is that things will become at some point so unbearably awkward and train wrecked through no one's fault that I'll want to curl up and die under my seat and I'm not even on stage.
Right.
Well, honestly, I mean, I have the same fear, and I know everyone who starts off has that fear that when you go out there, it's going to hit a wall, and then, you know, you pray to God that you can pick it up somehow. But that goes back to the basic rules, that if you really trust in your scene partner, if you base it on a relationship, then it's going to be interesting. Maybe it won't be funny every time, but if you ground it in a relationship and in truth, it's going to be at least interesting.
Right, right, right. Well, I think what you're talking about and is certainly in the beginning, you know, improvisers, because they don't know. I mean, but like Jenny just said, and which is what I teach, is that if you have a real relationship in a real scene, first of all, not everything has to be funny. It's not...
That was going to be my next question. Is there ever improv drama?
Right?
Sure.
Yes, dramatic improv.
Absolutely.
Dramatic improv, that's a thing that happens. How come we don't hear about that?
Here's the thing about improv. When you teach people, you tell people, don't try to be funny. That's the first rule, too. Don't try to be funny. Because if you follow the first base couple of rules, it's going to be funny. If you do the yes and you add information, you're going to be fine. But so improv by itself is going to be funny. But guys I used to study with in San Francisco, and they're in L.A. now, and they do like Ibsen unplugged, you know, or just improvised Ibsen, improvised Chekhov. Now,
which we're laughing, so it's
exactly
funny.
Yeah, exactly. So funny. You know what I mean? But to your point, you know, about like if it dies, or you know, you have those moments, is that, I mean, really, like I said in the beginning, but if you trust each other and you have the scene grounded in reality, it's okay to have a moment where nothing happens. But I think if you get all shticky, and like, hey, you know, somebody order a plumber? It's like, what?
Which is definitely the temptation, you know, right. to go out there and start just telling jokes. And because you're worried
right
that it's not going to be funny.
Right.
But then as I've seen more improv, I've really come to appreciate those serious moments. It's like a good comedic movie. It has serious moments, which makes the funny parts funnier.
Right. And I think human beings we're like internally wired to try to diffuse tension at all times. But you guys are creating like even more of a heightened sense of tension on stage than somebody doing Shakespeare, because at some level we kind of know how it's going to end, but we don't know how your scene is going to end. And so maybe as performers, do you ever feel that, like, I feel the need to make it funny because this act that we're doing is so fraught with inherent tension?
Well, sometimes I have those thoughts, but I try to kill it because I don't want to be thinking that, because that really does kill a scene. If you're going towards, you know, I have to be funny, I have to entertain the audience, then you get really shticky and it doesn't work. I actually think the funny thing about improv is that it's not funny the next day, really. It's something that if you tried to write down what you did, or even try to remember it, because sometimes I don't even remember what happened, but it's because it's in the moment.
Right.
The thing that makes it funny is that it was spontaneous and things started to connect and in a way the audience didn't expect. And so that's the magic of it. And that's what makes it funny in a way that's different than stand up or a movie or something scripted. And it's funny because I'll have something that happens in a show and I'll try to explain it to somebody the next day. It's like, oh, it's so funny, you know?
Right.
You had to be there.
Anyway, and you really do have to be
good,
there.
Which is never good. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it was great. It was, but to your point, or maybe not, but I had a teacher, Martin DeMatt. He passed away, and he was the head of the Second City Training Center. And I remember this example. He said that the two funniest lines he ever heard in his entire life, and, you know, he grew up around Second City and grew up around improv. And I still remember it. The two funniest lines he ever heard were, uh-huh, me too. You know what I mean? So in and of itself, it doesn't make any sense. But if you're in the moment, and I think it's really important, you know, and this is what I teach and this is what I was taught. So this is what I teach. When you're in a scene, real people, real emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, and I also said the most overrated thing in improv is talking. Take your time. Slow down and just look at each other. And then especially if you work together for a while, you can sort of have that moment where, you know, you can just sort of look at somebody and just go, I'm not happy right now. You know what I mean? He's going, I said I was sorry. You know what I mean? So right away you have a relationship. Yeah. You have emotion. And then you can sort of, because it's all about, it goes back to the writing thing too, where you're adding information, which is why it does help with your writing.